Welcome to the Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast with Abby and Molly.
I was really thought you were about to sing there.
I know. I thought about it, but
there was a moment.
I know. I sang the on our faux run through. I sang it, but no, I did not. So anyhow, it's been quite the month. It's been quite the weekend. So thank you guys for sticking it out with us.
We're burnt, stinky.
Well, crispy.
We're crispy. We're stinky.
We're definitely ripe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we both showered. Not together.
No, not... Well, I didn't shower this morning.
No, I showered yesterday.
Yeah, I showered yesterday. Uh-huh.
Anyway.
But yeah, it's been a hot week at the track. We got a little bit of rain.
So that humidity in Indiana is way up.
Wicked.
Wicked.
It is wicked.
Brutal.
But we got lots to talk about.
We
so
do.
Let's
so
warm up them tires.
Let's do it. We're going to talk about qualifications weekend, meaning both quals. Bump day, if you will. Real bump day.
Yep.
And pole day. And then we're going to go ahead and look ahead to the big one, the race.
The greatest spectacle in racing? Is that the one you're referencing?
That would be the greatest spectacle in racing, yes.
And that would also be known as the Indianapolis 500?
Well, you've got it in one.
Oh, you was, man.
You was smart. You was important. I don't...
I'm definitely pretty.
You are pretty. You're very pretty.
You're very pretty too.
Except we're all just dirty.
Yeah, except we're dirty right now. Yeah, I think I feel like I have a tan, but I know as soon as I like have the shower again, yeah, I'm gonna lose 3 shades.
It's my favorite part. You're like, I'm tan. Nope, just dirt.
Nope, just kidding. Oh. And then let's see, the last thing on our list after the Indy 500.
That would be our picks for the Indy 500.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah. Our picks. All right. Well, I was like, picks. Do we have photos to display? Although I do want to say, if you've been following our social media, Molly and I have been taking photos, and most of them have been Molly's, and they have been fantastic.
Well, thank you.
I mean, I don't take poor pictures by any stretch of the imagination, but I have been wowed.
Well, I will let everybody in on a secret. About 95% of photos you take on a track are shit.
Oh, if not more.
If not more. There's like 3%, maybe about 97.
Yeah.
There's about 3% of photos where you're like, yeah, this is a keeper, and the other ones are like, well, I was not fast enough.
Not fast enough. We need you. I said at the amount that I was like, we're going to need a bigger lens.
Yeah.
100%. So, but yeah, you have done an awesome job.
Thank
like
you.
You've got some really just perfect moment, perfect place, perfect timing. Yeah.
Part of it is luck.
I mean, that does have to do with it, but if you didn't have a good eye, you wouldn't have gotten them in the first place.
G-O-O-D-E-Y-E. Good eye, good eye, good eye.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right, let's get into qualifications weekend. So, bump day.
Oh, my God.
The story that has rocked everyone.
The nation.
Which, I thoroughly enjoyed your blog post about this.
Well, thank you.
And for those of you who wondered where my blog went, that I kept promising, I had work. I had work and I got busy and I overestimated the amount of time I was going to have to work on it. So I apologize.
It sneaks up on you.
Yeah. Good. I've got a draft. I've got one halfway written. And then at some point last week I was like, I'm calling a fuck it on this year. So sorry guys.
Hashtag year of fuck it.
Yeah. The year of fuck it. That's what this year is.
That's
so
what this year is.
Hashtag the year of fuck it. But your blog post, I mean, you basically said, you know, you asked for it. You got it.
I mean, and really, that's it. If you look back on bump day, we wanted the drama. We wanted the excitement. We did not want that to happen is the problem.
That's exactly what it is that Hinch is very much a fan favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anybody expected that he was going to be who didn't make it.
Exactly.
I mean, we were there all week at practice. His car was not fast all week long. And we knew that.
Yeah.
But there were other cars that were slower than his. And we just felt like the SPM crew, the aero crew, all of them, you know, they would kind of put the pieces together, and it didn't happen for a myriad of reasons.
I mean, it was just that kind of hurricane of bad scenarios.
It was the perfect storm of bad luck.
There you go. I couldn't think of what
meteorological
term to
use. Yeah, I mean, it was just a perfect storm of bad luck, and I'll admit I was guilty of being feisty at other drivers.
I think we all reacted, and I think everybody did. Everybody reacted out of this sort of like protectivism, anger, because
and emotion.
Likes him.
I mean, it was a very emotional.
It was.
Yeah.
And so I will also say to everybody who got up everybody's butt, like, we all wanted drama and emotion, and I think everybody reacted with that.
Absolutely. And so for those of you who are, you know, up people's asses about having an emotional, visceral reaction, calm down.
Give him a minute.
Right? Like, okay, the next day, I could talk about it a little more reasonably. Yeah. But, you know, like, chill out. Let people have their visceral reaction.
Yeah.
We're humans. That's what we do. That's what separates us.
From the monkeys.
From robots. No, I mean, monkeys have visceral. They're all visceral reactions.
That's true. That's true.
You know I hate monkeys.
I know. I'm sorry.
I don't like, you know what, and it's not just monkeys. I don't like any animal that throws its own poop in anger.
I don't think you like me. No, just kidding.
I mean,
right
and I...
Right there.
Well, I mean, I have had... I've had professional experiences with humans that throw their poop in anger. And I don't like you. If you do that, I'm not a fan. And I will let you know that. So, I don't want to just pick on the monkeys. But I feel like all they do is throw poop and jerk off.
Well...
Off subject.
You're wrong.
Yeah, sorry. Burying the lead there. So, but yeah, so we all had this visceral reaction. And, but at the end of the day, that's what we asked for.
It's exactly what we asked for. And
we all wanted bumping. We all didn't want to have, you know, we didn't want them to say have all 35 in. And we've previously discussed the pros and the cons. And I mm-hmm. understand the cons of bump day. And that is that sponsors get screwed and, you know, drivers get screwed and, you know, and it's a hard call, but
I mean,
overwhelmingly, most people wanted bump day. IndyCar wanted bump day. The IMS wanted bump day, and that's what we got. And bump day involves heartache.
It does. And I think we saw it, and
we just didn't think that it was going to be people that we were particularly attached to.
Yeah.
It's really easy to be about something that causes heartache when it's not somebody that you have any attachment to. And when that emotion is not real for you,
mm-hmm.
but something that it reminded me of is back in the days when there were many, many cars trying to get in. You had lots of people that got bumped. As upset as I was about Hinch, I thought, I'm not even on his team.
Yeah.
I don't even know him personally. And I am this upset about it. I can't imagine what the drivers feel. And then I thought, how many people every single year that got bumped felt exactly like that?
True.
And that feeling actually is the only thing that made me rethink maybe bump day is not a great idea, because I just thought, this is such a shitty way to feel.
It is. It's... It's a hard thing to discuss because I think we all want to keep 33.
We do, and there's been talk about whether that tradition is a good thing or a bad thing, and as we're gaining momentum in the sport. However, I think that Hinch is being talked about much more since he was bumped than he would be if he had qualified number 33.
Yeah, I think it as weird as it sounds, everybody was on it. It brought awareness because everybody who was an IndyCar fan was on their social media that day either complaining about or talking about it. So I mean,
they're still talking about it. If you go on Twitter, James Hinchcliffe is still in the top 5 stories on Twitter.
Jesus, Twitter's just been a dumpster fire the past 2 days.
It has been a complete
dumpster fire. I log on and I look at it and I go, I will look at this for 5 minutes and then I will get back off of it because otherwise my blood pressure will rise.
Yeah, otherwise I'm going to have a stroke.
Yep.
Very, very emotional day Saturday.
It was a good, aside from Hinch, like Connor's thing was an amazing emotional
journey. Oh my gosh, just edge of your seat, hoping that he would get in, and he did.
And he attempted, reattempted, and reattempted.
Yeah, he, on his third attempt, he made it in, and we had the radio on, and we actually teared up just because it was such a just raw emotion. As soon as he made it through and he'd made it into the field, he came over to his team and he said, you know, I had my foot down as hard as it would go the whole time. And it's just, I mean, we got a little beklempt.
That's exactly
it. Talk amongst yourselves.
I'll give you a topic. But no, it was. That late in the day, everybody got through, and then that late in the day when they started running those two lines, that's when everybody was just, nobody moved. I felt like I didn't breathe for 30 minutes.
No, I agree. And, it did provide a lot of drama.
It did.
It just didn't pan out the way that
everybody wanted
that
it
most
to.
Of us wanted it to.
I mean, I thought we all thought Oriel Servia wasn't going to find speed, and all of a sudden,
I mean, he got waved off by the officials on his first two.
They were like, nah, bro.
Because our top speed was 229 that day.
Yeah, about
one person hit 229. So if you go by the 105% rule, you had to hit at least 216. Because I saw, you know, a few people had commented back on ours, you know, about like, will they change the rules and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was like, the thing is they have a rule in place.
Yeah.
And, you know, because a lot of people, you know, were like, why didn't they wave off Pippa? Well, she was within the 105%.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she was within that range. Servia, however, was not, which was shocking to me. And I don't know what kind of sorcery they did on that car for him to finally find some speed and make it in. But, I mean, it's been a long-ass time since I've seen somebody get waved off twice in a row by officials on bump day.
It was. And then came out that third time. And he wasn't 33rd. He was up a few, too. Like, yeah. He found speed.
He found speed and, yeah, was well in the field, was not not in bumping range.
So...
Oh, my goodness. Pippa went out. She was, aside from Connor's first two runs, she was consistently the slowest all day. So I was not surprised that she got bumped.
I wasn't either.
And it is hard for a one-off driver.
Yeah, 100%.
I will say that. I mean, it is hard for one-off drivers. They have, you know, they don't have as many tires. That, you know, there's all kinds of things that they have to work with. They don't have as much time in the car. They don't have as much experience. They don't get to do the testing. And so, you know, they only have those practice days, and luckily none of the practice days got rained out last week. And honestly, she seemed to be, I mean, running fairly well.
Yeah.
But again, not surprised. And I think that if the field had been higher in the last couple of years, I don't know that she would have so many Indy 500 starts under her belt. Because I don't feel like she ever is very fast.
I agree.
She was not in the last row last year or the year before, but she's always in like the 10th row. So she never comes with a lot of speed. And I don't know if that's a factor of, you know, the car and being a one-off, if that's a factor of skill, a combination of the two.
I don't know.
Not sure.
I'd have to kind of study it, I guess.
Yeah, I'd have to study it more and you know, probably talk with the team and with her. And so... But that hasn't happened and is not going to happen in the near future. So
yeah.
So all we can do on that is speculate. But yeah, Hinge, I definitely did not see. I mean, I was shocked all week long at how slow his car was.
I was too, and I was not worried because I figured, all right, maybe they're trying different things.
Because a lot of teams were doing that. They were trying their setups in, you know, every type of weather. If it was cool, they were doing, you know, if it was hot, if it was humid, because they wanted to make sure that they were prepared, because the initial forecast at the beginning of last week showed 80s all week long and then a high of 63 Saturday and a high of 65 on Sunday.
Yeah.
That ended up not being the case.
That was false.
Yeah. The lie detector test.
That was, in fact, not the case.
Not the case. So, I mean, there were a lot of teams that were just trying shit out so that they'd be prepared. And so... You know, it's like, okay, maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe they're just playing with things, but...
Well, and I will also say we didn't have consistent weather.
No.
Like, every single day you went out, that track was completely different.
It was absolutely different.
And that's why we joke about it, but that's why when we were coming up to the Indy, I was like, I can't even begin to pick anybody yet because that track is something else.
I mean, A... Even if that track was somewhere that had consistent weather.
Yeah.
AKA not Indiana.
Yeah.
That track is a beast.
Yeah.
Essentially says she's a harsh mistress or cruel mistress, I think. Yeah. But that track is a beast. I mean, that track divides the men from the boys.
Exactly.
The women from the girls. Like, it is very much a track that will put you on your toes, even as a seasoned, experienced driver.
Yeah.
And then you throw Indiana weather on top of it. And
I mean, that's why we... Not only because we live here, but it's just such a dramatic story all of May.
It is. And I think that we saw all this past week during practice, and especially during quals, that the track does choose the winner.
That's exactly it.
I mean, because I think that had you put money on the fact that Hinge was going to be out, he would have been such an outside bet that you could have paid off your student loans.
Oh, 100%.
You know?
Nobody. And if anybody says, oh, I had a being bumped, like, no, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
You're lying. You're lying. You're lying.
You're full of shit.
Like, everybody knows it. Nobody thought that was happening.
I mean, we all saw that he was slow throughout the week, but nobody thought that it wasn't going to come together.
Right. That's exactly it.
So yeah, bump day, just wild.
Just a heartache.
So, yeah, I understand Pippa going out on her final run, and there was some unconfirmed things about, you know, saying that her car wasn't ready, and I've not seen anything that confirms that.
That's it. Like, I haven't seen it. Exactly.
There's no video, there's no photo, there's no evidence that was in fact the case.
Mm-hmm.
However, if that was the case, I will say for those of you saying that that shouldn't be allowed, that is, in fact, against IndyCar rules. When you get in line, your car must be ready to run.
Right.
And so I have a very hard time believing that the officials there would not have been like GTFO.
Well, especially on your biggest race in a very emotionally charged day. If your car's not ready and you're holding up another driver, uh-uh.
Yeah. So,
that's why I'm... Unless I see
some. Because Rossi and Rahal went out and they, you know, and they said, oh, they only had time to do that because Hinch was behind Pippa and she was working her shit. Like, no, I don't think Hinch was ready yet.
I think
because another issue and is that Hinch's time was on the bubble from the beginning.
Yeah, they let him sit in the lower priority line.
Yeah, he sat in lane two.
For a good 20 minutes.
And I think that they should have.
They should have bumped him over.
He got screwed and was the first to go out after the first set of rain.
Yeah.
And so his setup was different. He'd already gone through tech, couldn't adjust the car.
Right.
So he got screwed. Car was hot. Mm-hmm. They were not allowed to cool it down. They attempted. Not allowed. Although that's not specifically against the rules. They just made a ruling that day, which I think, I'm not sure how I feel about that. Yeah. There's pros and cons both ways. An argument can be made both ways. But I think that a lot of that is on SPM for not pulling his time and putting him in lane one. They should have done that and let him just go and, you know, and see what time he puts up after that. And then at least you know you're in.
Yeah.
But they spent half the day sitting in lane two, which was...
I would have... And I get that that's a hard call to make.
It is. And hindsight's 20/20. And
yeah. Oh, 100%.
And we're being Monday morning quarterbacks at this point, you know.
Exactly. We're being Monday morning quarterbacks.
We are. And, it, you know, it's real easy to say, oh, these are all the things that went wrong. But I'll tell you, for me... If I know that there's actual bumping and I'm number 33,
I'm
not happy enough with that.
No,
that's not good enough for me.
Pull the time and go again.
Yeah.
Because at the very worst, you're out, but you're almost out already.
Exactly. You are, you just need one person to do better than
you.
Yeah. So yeah, I probably would not have a...
Oh, I'd have been right back.
I would not have. But at the same time, I mean, he's an employee.
Yeah, I mean.
And so you gotta, I mean, I know that there's, you know, it's a discussion, but if the boss says just go in lane two, you go in lane two.
I mean, at the end of the day, you gotta do what everybody tells you. I mean,
because at the end of the day, I mean, sponsors, like, you know, Hinch has his own sponsors that he works with, but a lot of it goes through SPM. So at the end of the day, it's on Sam Schmidt.
And we were not privy to those conversations over our radio, which is unfortunate.
It is very unfortunate.
I would have loved
to be a fly on the wall.
Just curiosity, honest to Pete. Like, what was the thought behind everything?
Well, and just, yeah, kind of what was the vibe of everybody involved in that and kind of their thought. And I'm sure that they thought, I guarantee they didn't think that he was not going to make it.
Oh, yeah.
And had he not had the issue, the tire issue, the vibration issue on his second run.
Well, and apparently there was some sort of confusion as in that team when it was supposed to end, which apparently... it had been ending at 550 for a few years.
Yes, that's not new. Everybody's losing their shit. It is for ABC. That's the reason it got changed. But it's not new.
And even if it was new, you weren't learning about the 550 cutoff time at 3.
No.
Like, you knew ahead of time. Like, we only had
been on the IMS schedule on their app since at least May 1st.
So... maybe there's some communication errors. I don't know. But I think that's a factor. All of a sudden, everybody thought, oh, we can go till 6. Nope.
No.
That is false.
That was not, in fact, the case.
That is not.
So.
It's heartbreaking. But I will add this as a caveat, and I will lead us into poll day with it. He was back at that track the second day, like, on the grid, like, talking with the drivers, like, getting everybody else, like, psyched for their qualifying.
Supporting his team.
Which is
fantastic.
Supporting
the series.
Like, that's, I know everybody's saying it, but I want to say it too. That's a fucking class act right there. To be like, you know what? I got knocked on my ass, but I'm going to show up tomorrow. I'm going to be there for everybody else. And I'm very emotionally charged today.
Absolutely. I mean, he's completely a class act.
Yeah, 100% is.
He is. So, and he even said, he was like, the blame's not on anybody, but on us. The blame's on me and our team. Like, we should have done better.
And that speaks volumes about a person.
Volumes, absolutely. Huh? And the fact that, yeah, it wasn't a pity party.
Mm-mm.
He was like, it's on us. We didn't make it. It sucks. I get it.
But here I am.
I'm ready to move forward. Let's move on. Mm-hmm. And he was there the next day. I mean, he was there today. We're recording on Monday for the Hinchcliffe 100 blood drive. So, and I fully anticipate seeing him the rest of the week.
Yeah. I think words are one thing, but actions are another, and I think he's definitely proved himself today.
He absolutely
and
has.
Sunday, he proved himself Sunday too.
Absolutely. I mean, and I think that it takes a lot to come back from what you know is a very emotional day.
Oh, seeing that, like, because they kept showing the video, and part of me was like, just let
it be.
Let him have a minute. Like, let him have a minute before you shove something in his face.
I think that's why he kept his helmet on so long.
I know we're not big J journalists, but even at that moment, I've been like, we're not going up there.
No, like, let's have some respect for yourself, okay?
Yeah, let him.
Like, that's the moment, you know, I mean, that's one of my favorite phrases, like, when people say, like, you know, something, like, when they don't approve of something you're doing, is they're like, have some respect for yourself. That's how I felt about every cameraman that was in his mouth, in his face. Like, have some respect for yourself. Like,
let him get through those first 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then, maybe, because I know there's the whole, they're obligated X, Y, and Z. Okay, that's fine, but maybe let him have a minute.
Yeah, give it a minute.
Is that you're just? It didn't sit well with me. That actually did not sit well. It still doesn't.
I agree. I don't like that type of. And I feel like still pictures are a different story.
If you're far back and you can take still and you're not up his like face, that's fine.
That's fine. But to have a video camera right in somebody's face right after a devastating moment like that, I mean that.
I'm not okay with that.
No. And there's nothing that I can compare it to that's not going to be offensive. But
I was just thinking, just people right after a tragedy.
Any kind of tragedy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's not, like, that not to say that that was a tragedy, but you still are going through that wide range of emotions.
Yes. So, yeah. No, I think that's classless.
But he's a classy human. He showed up on poll day. And guess what? We got on poll day. A flipping speed show.
We got this. Oh, man, we got a speed show.
Jeez, okay.
I mean, Saturday we had some fast times, but
we did.
It wasn't what we have seen in years past. But Sunday.
Whoo,
damn,
buddy. Well, first of all, Laced came out and like laid down some time. Marco came out and laid down time. Actually, we do have to talk about Marco.
We do have to talk about Marco. So, Marco, last week in practice, most of the days, he was the fastest, or in the top three, and he was not happy with his car most of the days,
yeah,
which was amazing to me, because I was like, I don't know how you're this fast, and you're dissatisfied.
Right?
Which, to me, it speaks to the fact that I think that he's coming hard.
Thank you. I was just thinking about that the other day, like, he's showing what I think a lot of us have been confused about is whether he's really dedicated
whether
or
he's
not.
Passionate about it. And I think that he has shown passion the entire week.
Yes.
And I think that we can continue to expect that from him as we go into the Indy 500 and during the race.
Yeah.
So I think that he's hungry.
Oh, I mean, after he did his run, he said, let's go win this race.
Yeah, that was the first thing he said.
And they said, good job, buddy. He was like, thanks. Great job, everybody. Let's go win this race.
Let's go win this. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
So, yeah, I mean, game, respect, game.
Look, I think our biggest thing all along was we just didn't feel like he was in it.
And I think he's 100% in it. His heart is in it. He's got the passion.
Let's go.
He's got the drive. I think he's ready. So, I think it's possible to see Marco Andretti in the top five.
Oh, 100%. I did not put him down, but I would not be surprised.
In the least.
Yeah.
But Laced came out of nowhere.
Laced.
Sorry. My tire's lost. Hopefully he keeps all tires on this Sunday.
That's the fear. But he came
out. If he doesn't, I will laugh so hard I'll piss my pants.
I mean, it's going to be bad. If he loses a tire, Jesus.
I will laugh so hard I will probably pee my pants.
Yeah, but we'll be wearing dresses.
Oh, good.
Or my bike shorts.
Just move the dress out of the way so that way it's nice. And then TK came out after Laced.
Yeah, we had the teammates back to back.
And he did really well.
He did. He's 10th?
He is 10th.
Yeah. Yep. And then 11th is Laced.
Mm-hmm. So AJ Foyt.
They found speed for this race. They did. I will not say the phrase that drives me up a wall, but they did okay for this race right now.
They did. What's the...
They're turning around, Foyt Racing. This is the season they turn it around. Oh, it's one race and it's qualifying. If I hear that, I will find you and I will smack you.
You know what would really help AJ Foyt Racing?
They stopped saying
some
that.
Goddamn consistency.
Maybe
that's why you haven't turned it around. It's because you have lacked consistency.
AJ, or Tony says he's on a 3-year contract. And in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, but is there a severance clause in that contract?
Right.
But is there a severance clause?
Because...
that will get you, kids.
Yeah, that'll get you every time.
Hashtag free legal advice.
Yep. So, but yeah, I mean, but again, I mean, we love AJ Foyt.
We do.
And I would love to see him have a team that stands for something.
I agree.
I would love to have him have a team that, I know that it's Larry that runs things, but with the AJ Foyt name,
mm-hmm.
I have always expected better things of them than we have gotten.
And I would agree with you. I think it's consistency.
And it's because they switch up. Oh, we didn't like it. Okay, we're going to get new drivers. Oh, we didn't like it. We're going to get... No.
Stop.
Sometimes you have to dance with the lady that brought you
mm-hmm.
and coach them up from there.
Yes. Works.
Did you have an ideal season last year? No.
But
do I think that you should have ditched Connor Daly and Carlos Munoz?
No. Plus, by the way, you switched engines shortly before the season started, so everybody got thrown for a loop there.
Yeah, and that was on them.
Yes, 100% that was on you, Foyt, Larry.
And they told their drivers that it was going to be a learning year. We don't need to rehash that. And I'm glad that Daly and Munoz both got one-offs for the 500.
And they're both in.
They are. They're both in. Well, and Munoz has finished second in the past. I mean, he had rookie of the year. Connor has, just great intuition. He's a good driver.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about his car for this race, though.
That's what concerns me. I think there's something in that car.
I just think that it's not a great car.
I mean, I suppose we could find a Catholic priest and get some holy water. I mean, that's where I'm at with his car right now.
I can get some holy water.
Yeah.
We've got some in this house.
Throw it on him. All right. There you go.
Yeah.
We'll make it happen.
Yeah, I see.
We should have brought it to the interview.
We should have. Yeah, I see. Bird's got oil that's been blessed in a thing on her keychain.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. We can walk by and just do a little... just a quick sprinkle.
Just a little splash and dash.
Yeah. Yeah, a little splash and dash. Different than what they mean when they just put in gas at a pet stop. Yeah, this is our splash and dash. It's holy water.
This is the religious splash and dash.
Yes.
I will say, so Rossi qualified 32nd.
Yeah.
And we watched his speed drop off. Apparently there was a tire puncture.
Yeah, apparently that tire puncture happened before he even went out on the course.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about your bad fucking luck.
Unless his car catches on fire... just knocked on wood for that one. I don't know how you can get any worse than pulling up with a flat tire for your quali run.
Yeah.
Wait, what? You show up and it's not a car?
And he came over the radio, like, his first lap was great, and then the tire lost too much. And because he was, like, 227 or 228, and we were like, yeah,
we were like, okay.
And then it was, like, 222. And then it was, like, in the two teens. And then I think the last one was 201 or some shit.
The whole crowd just went,
we were like, what
the fuck? There was a gasp.
There was.
An audible gasp of everyone. What the shit just happened?
And he even came over the radio. I mean, he was talking to them, and he was like, this car's not right. I've got too much this and blah, blah. And so he was playing with things, and we could hear them going back and forth. And at the very end, like... once he got his four laps, he just came over. He said, I am so sorry, guys.
Yeah, and I will say, he hopped out of that car, and usually they have to go through media. And he stepped over and talked with somebody from his crew for a good 20 minutes before he did anything. Like, this is what I mean, good on him.
Yeah.
They were like, here's what I felt. I'm imagining they were walking through what happened.
Yeah, I'm sure. But yeah, I love that. I mean, because it was nothing that he could have done. But again... what a great team player that he didn't qualify well, and he came over and he's like, I am so sorry, guys.
Like, I'm sorry, guys.
Like, he had no idea at that point that it was the tire. He was just like, I'm trying to drive the shit out of this, and I'm not, and I usually do. So his first reaction was, it was my fuck up.
Yeah.
And that right there makes me respect, I mean, I already respected Alexander Rossi, but that right there, I'm like, that's a stand-up teammate. Your first thought is not, what the hell's wrong with this car?
What did you do? But
yeah,
guys, your first thought is,
what did I fuck up?
Like, we deserve better. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry that I didn't do better.
Yeah.
You know, and then of course, after some examination, I'm sure they came back and they were like, okay, it wouldn't have mattered. You know, this was going off the tire.
There's a tire pressure issue.
But yeah, for your first instinct of blame to be on yourself.
That speaks well of you.
Yeah. That says a lot. It says a lot about who he is as a person.
I agree.
So... again, those headphones paying for themselves.
Oh my God. I love those headphones.
They are just the best.
So much.
So much. So the rest of our back row, so Connor is number 33.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got Rossi, who's 31. Is that right?
Or no, 32? He's 32.
32. And then 31, Jack Harvey. Which we met his mom, and she's a doll. Oh, my gosh. We could not be more excited about going to the last row party so that we get to see her again.
The last row party is going to be lit. I don't know the alcohol law, but I know what we can do with alcohol.
Yes. I mean, I know Jack won't appreciate this because Anne-Marie kept hiding her drinks for pictures because she was like, oh, Jack will yell at me and this and that. And we were like, oh, well, you can hang with us. We're the right crowd to have drinks around. But yeah, it was either a gin and, it had to be a vodka tonic because gin and tonics have lemons, not limes.
Yep.
But yeah, she had a vodka tonic and I was like, you, and I mean, and she came up just because of our clothing and we just started chit chatting and that's how it happened very organically. And so we tell her about the name of our podcast. She put a button on and she goes, I just knew I was going to like you girls. And then, you know, pulled a flask out of our bag and yeah, she chuckled. She was, and she said a few times, she goes, I had a good feeling about you.
Which is what usually happens when people meet us. Right. After a minute.
After a minute, we're like, you know, we're pretty fun. Mm-hmm. We're pretty fun. So I am excited. Of course, as much as we love Rossi and Daly, I would love for them to have qualified higher.
Yeah.
And I love Jack Harvey too.
Yeah, I don't have any.
He's a sweetheart. But since we're going to last row party, I could not be more excited about the fact that those are the three drivers that are going to be there because
it's going to be lit.
It's going to be lit. And I love all three of them. Like, mm-hmm. I really do. And so I'm very excited for that. Yeah. It's our first year going to that.
Yeah.
So it'll very be fun. Excited. It'll be very fun. Let's see. So the Fast That's Nine shootout.
I guess we just go, let's just go reverse order.
Okay.
Danica.
No, she's 7.
Reverse order of how they
qualified.
Yeah, okay, that's how I have it written.
Gotcha. Sorry. Yeah. So Danica was number 9 from Saturday, so she went first for the Fast Nine shootout. Yeah. And also, not surprised she was in the Fast Nine.
First of all, thank you. And everybody else was like, she's gonna get bumped, blah blah blah. Shut it.
In fact, I think I will quote Molly on this one.
Oh boy.
From her blog. Where she said, and I quote, I'd also like to invite everyone who said Danica would wreck and suck to officially suck it. She's in the Fast Nine. Yeah. So, you have been officially invited.
To suck it.
To suck it. You know, and if you don't like Danica, that's fine. But I'll tell you what, you cannot deny that that woman knows how to drive an Indy car, and especially exactly at this race.
And I will also, so she put up a time of 2:28, and then they came over her radio and they're like, great job, what feedback? And she spent a good 3 minutes laying out what they needed to do for different turns.
And it wasn't all negative for those of you who want to be like, oh, of course she came on complaining. No, no. She was like, it felt great in 3. It felt great in 4. Like, 1 had this.
I tried to do this.
She's like, I did this. This is the, you know, what I got when I did those things. Like, but she went, I mean, straight down every part of the mm-hmm. course, very technical, laid it out so that her engineers, her crew would know, okay, these are the things that we need to look at and address for the coming week.
And like, here's what we need to tell Spencer and Ed.
Exactly, because they're all on a team together. So, yeah.
Suck it.
I know that she has made a lot of money based off of the fact that she is beautiful. I mean, mm-hmm. she's hot. But you know what? Good for her. Yeah. Like I've said many times before, we didn't create the patriarchal society we live in, but if you can take advantage of it, live it up.
Do you?
Like, I'd love for it to be a non-issue, but gender's not a non-issue at this point. And so if you can do whatever
you
can.
That's what you need to do.
If you can make money off of it, then yeah, live your life. Yeah. So, but she's not just a pretty face. She can drive the shit out of a car, and she knows about the car.
Yes.
And I think that gets lost in translation, especially with female drivers of any motorsport.
I would agree.
Is that most of your drivers, there will be exceptions, but most of your drivers, and especially your female drivers, because they've had to take the most shit and have had the least amount of funding, they can work on their car mm-hmm. just as well as they can race it. Because the biggest way you save money being a race car driver is being able to fix your own shit.
Exactly.
So if you don't think that Danica knows her way under the hood, you're an idiot.
You have another thing coming.
You have another thing coming. So I love that. I agree.
Too.
I
mean, it was great.
And she just went like, and we even held off on going to the next person's channel just because we were so interested in this conversation that was happening.
It was enthralling to hear her lay everything out.
Yes.
So after Danica came, Dixon, and he put up a 227.262.
It was not Dixon's weekend.
It was not, and I'm very surprised.
Very surprised. He had a migraine on Friday.
Yeah.
On Fast Friday, and it really threw him off. It threw off his schedule.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple things that got canceled for Monday the 21st. He had the pole last year.
Yeah.
And he was one of those that I think the very first day of practice last week on Tuesday, we went out there and Marco had the top time
mm-hmm.
until maybe the last 45 minutes. And Dixon came back out and...
said not today, Junior.
Not today. And then Aleo came back out. Aleo went up with the fastest time on Tuesday because it's Aleo.
Because it's Aleo.
He had, I am mad at him.
Yeah.
Coming out day one, swinging your nuts around. I get it. You're a 3-time winner.
You're coming back.
Swinged in big balls, okay? I get it. Don't let people forget.
Don't.
I get it.
You mean like, I might have been off for the season, but I'm home.
Right?
Whose track is this?
Yeah. Call me Poppy.
I love it when you call me big. No.
but yeah, Dixon, I mean, he had a strong week. It wasn't a stellar week, but it wasn't a bad week.
Yeah.
But I think Friday really threw him, and yeah, he honestly didn't do that great Saturday. I mean, he made it into the Fast 9.
He made it, but it wasn't like a safe Fast 9.
No. I mean, Danica was 9th out of 9, but I think Scott was only... Yeah, he was only 8.
He was only 8, yeah.
Yeah, so...
because I run him in reverse.
I expected more from Dixon.
I agree.
So, and he is starting 9.
Yes. And then Newey came out, Joseph.
Joseph Newgarden, who... he did finish 3rd 2 years ago in 2016.
Yes.
But typically Joseph shits the bed in Indianapolis. And I love him, and it's hard for me. I have bet on that kid to win the Indy 500 since his rookie fucking year. And like an idiot, I bet on him in fantasy for the GP, and then he screwed me. And I was like, I don't know why I keep doing this to myself. It's like I have some,
Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, or like sadistic tendencies, inside of me that I'm not aware of. But he did well in his qualifying. But again, it's a Penske machine, and I did not expect Penske to not do well.
Right. So he did come out, and he held P1 for a couple of afterwards. So it was Newgarden. He was P1 then.
Mm-hmm.
And then Piggy came out and put out a 228.1. So he did fine.
Solid, yeah.
Piggy did solid. Bourdais came out and put a 228.142, and then Will came back and did a 228.6 and knocked Newgarden off.
Which, I mean, again, never surprised. Will almost always does well in qualifying.
Well, yeah, and especially at this track.
Especially at this track. I mean, Will is just, I mean, he's just a machine.
Yeah.
I mean, the man is a machine. Like, he just...
he goes out, he does his stuff, he's done.
Yeah.
He's done. It's fine. And then after Will came Simon...
Simon Pagenaud, who we were rooting for because we just love him.
Well, we just love Simon.
We just love Simon, and we had a wonderful interview with him.
Yeah.
That morning, actually.
I'm not saying that we caused it, but I'm not saying we not caused it.
Well, and Simon and each of us, like, we all gave big hugs after the interview and thanked him, and I'm not saying that that's what sealed the deal for him.
But
it certainly didn't hurt.
But it did not hurt.
It didn't hurt.
So he came out... oh, my little phone went dark. 228.6. Nope, 228.7.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have my glasses on, so I'm squinting. So he sat on P1 until Daddy came out.
Until Daddy came out, because Daddy only does ovals.
And Daddy does ovals. To quote Teresa Hilliker, Daddy does ovals good.
Good.
Because he broke 230.
He sure as shit did, man.
And I tell you what, that whole... place.
I mean, because we had... because Pagenaud broke 229. His average was 228.
His average was 228.
But he broke 229.
But he had 229.
And he was the first one to break 229. And the place erupted. And then... Daddy
Ed
came
said,
out.
That's adorable.
Well, and I'll tell you what I really enjoyed is that the morning practice on Sunday.
Yes.
Not a single Ed Carpenter racing car was out. Mm-hmm. And everybody was speculating, it's because of this, it's because of this. And I turned to Molly, we just laughed, and I said, I'll tell you what it is. I said, this is Ed's home turf, mm-hmm. okay, home court advantage. He's the oval master. This is now his third pole.
The oval master.
He is.
It's like Lord of the Rings.
One track to
one
rule
them. One oval to rule them all.
Oh, one track to find them and in the drunkenness bind them.
In the shadows of Speedway.
In the tunnel.
We have to stop.
In the tunnel over the stands. Yeah, no, that's going to, yeah. but I said, and people who sit next to us, one of them said, I'll bet you anything that Ed takes the pole. He was like, I'll put money on it now. Yeah. I don't have to watch. I bet Ed takes the pole. And I'm like, I'm not going to take that bet.
No.
Because the fact that they didn't come out, I thought, they tweaked their cars, and they don't want any mm-hmm. other team to know how
see
fucking
what
fast they are.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, the reason he's not coming out is because he's so certain of his car. Ed only comes out to practice if he needs to.
Mm-hmm.
If it's perfect, he leaves it.
He's like, I'm good. And he came out, and he was like, oh, 229? Okay.
That's cute.
That's cute, kid.
That's cute.
This is how we do things in America.
So, yeah. Ed came out and just...
just said, I'm going to pee on this track.
Yep. I'm going to pee everywhere.
He just
this
peed.
This is my territory.
This is my track. I've licked everything. It's mine.
That's rules. That's how it works.
I mean, we have photos of Ed just licking various parts of the Speedway.
It's true.
It's true.
We are contractually obligated not to share them on social media, so you won't ever see them, but trust us, they exist.
They exist. He's just licking everything.
I mean, same as dips. Like, those rules are sacred.
Yes.
Or drinks, you know? Like,
that's how you roll.
Some things can't be changed.
No.
So, Alio was the last to go because he was the fastest on Saturday.
Right, and so...
and I was...
oh,
I was
nervous.
Anticipating because all four Penske boys were in it.
Yeah.
They'd all done well. I mean, Joe had the provisional pole for a hot minute, then Will held it, then Simon took it,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and then Ed came out, and I was like, okay, I'm waiting on Alio.
Yeah.
Because I said, I mean, you and I both said that we expected Ed and Alio to hit 230.
Oh, 100%.
And especially since the day before, Alio came out and just smacked the shit out of his qualifying run.
He was
I
am done.
Yes.
I will do four, and I will go back to my trailer.
Like, that is enough.
I will take a siesta.
Yes. Adios.
Muchachos.
Right. Which, I don't even know if that's correct because he's from Brazil, but...
I have no idea.
Yeah, I do not speak Portuguese. I was disappointed in his run on Sunday.
Everybody was disappointed. When they started reading off times, everybody was like, ah! And then, like, the third time, everybody just was like, huh?
I guess he's not going to pull it off.
I think The whole place was
waiting for him to hit 231 after Ed did 230. We're like, this is it.
This is it. And then it was like that, the video we see where everybody's like putting their hands up for like everybody hit the free throw and then they don't hit it and everybody just is like.
Slowly smiles.
Putting the hands. So
and arms fade.
He's not going to hit. Okay. Collectively, everybody in the stands went, what? Huh?
What just happened?
What happened?
It's Alio and he's in a Penske machine. And I know he's not full-time, but you know RP's not putting him in a shitty piece of equipment.
No.
When he's going for his fourth win.
Yeah, like his car has priority would be my 100% bet. You don't think so?
I don't know, because it's also a points game.
Well, that's true, but I think if he...
But at the same time, here's the thing. I don't think RP tolerates shit. And I mean that in every iteration of that word. I don't think he tolerates bad behavior, bad attitude, bad performance,
bad equipment. We always talk about that with
Penske. I mean, the Penskes, I mean, and like Pageant of Spider Mike Ford said, it's very military. Things are lined up. It makes our OCD hearts happy just to look in their garage.
I love it.
And so I feel like RP has a very high bar
mm-hmm.
of expectations.
I agree.
And so, like, do I think that Alio had the best car out of the four Penske cars? That I don't know. But do I think the margin of error is under 5%?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, very surprised he did not do better.
100% surprised.
And again, on the official invite to Suck It, Danica qualified higher than Alio and Scott Dixon.
So again, you are officially invited to Suck It.
Yep.
Please do RSVP upon our social media.
Yep. We will let you know.
Mm-hmm.
Date and time.
Yes.
So, but yeah, so disappointed by Ilya, and I'm sure he was disappointed to start that far back. But at the same time, I've seen him make moves. So
I, was say, it's I don't Andy, think he's going to phase it's him. Ilya. God only knows what's going to happen in this race.
God only knows.
That's why it's always so hard to make a choice for this.
Oh,
race.
It's so hard. So let's just run down the Indy 500. Let's just give a little brief synopsis, I think. Well, that's true. We should talk about that. So if you haven't seen us at the track, first off, you've been missing out.
Oh my God.
You have been missing out. We partnered with the IndyCar Nation team. They've been wonderful to us. We've been using their garage. And so we've gotten to do some great driver interviews. We got to interview Connor Daly last week.
We had James Davison and Simon Pagenaud in our most recent episode, which if you've not listened to the Simon Pagenaud episode, and I will be the first one to say, like, unfortunately, we had to do the interview at the same time as the Catholic Mass. So you do hear Padre in the background.
We apologize.
But, and I'm going to tease it. I'm not going to tell you, but Simon gave the best answer to the question, what is your hidden talent?
Yes. What is something about you, a talent or an interest or hobby, something about you that not many people know? It was hands down the best answer.
I will also add that when we asked him what was his favorite thing to do in Indiana, as a lawyer, I got concerned.
Okay.
A moment.
Well.
I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you should definitely give it a listen.
And he was just, he's a great time. He's a total sweetheart. Oh, I mean, what you see of him is what you get.
Mm-hmm.
I will 100% say that, you know, because a lot of times people have a persona on track that is maybe much different or, you know, you might expect them to be one way and they're a different way. I mean, he is.
I can't say enough about the kid.
I cannot say enough nice things about him. Yeah. I really can't. And it was just his birthday on Friday.
Yeah.
So, but no, and that really, I mean, after Doug Bowles interview is obviously one of our favorites.
Obviously.
But I would say that Simon Pagenaud interview.
Number two.
100%. Easily. Maybe even tied with Doug.
It was, yeah. Because it was a great interview.
Oh my gosh. And he's just such a sweetheart.
And he's real, I mean, he's easy to interview and he's very personal.
He is. And he was just great. I mean, yeah. We got to talk with him for hours.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The crowd, we wouldn't have minded. The crowd wouldn't have minded, except he had, you know, other things to do, like finish qualifying.
You know, like figure out where he was going to start this weekend.
Qualify, but
whatever.
But you wouldn't even have known that he was in the Fast 9 and was going to try and, you know, go for the pole because he was just so relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's just him all the time. He just, all right, this is what it is. We focus on this for now and then move on to the next thing.
C'est la vie.
C'est la vie. C'est la vie.
C'est la guerre. C'est la pomme de terre. You are all welcome.
Love that. You should have said that.
I should have said it to him. I blanked when I, at a moment, there's a moment in the interview where he told me to ask him a question. I was just like, I don't know what to do with my hands.
Throw us off.
Throw us off.
We're usually the ones telling people what to do, so that's part of it. So
yeah.
Definitely check that out. And if you are not sure where to find it, you can check us out on all of our social media. So there was a live Facebook video. The audio is kind of shady, but we dropped it on our podcast. So if you go to our website, www.fastcarsfastgirls.com, you can find everything. We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube. We are on Instagram. We're on Twitter. We're on Snapchat, although I kind of slacked on that this week during practice. I mean, it was hit and miss. So, because we were just doing so many other pictures on other things that it was unnecessary. And I only have two hands, people. I'm like, I got a Nikon, I got a phone. It was just, So you can find everything on our website. And then you can also search us on any podcast hosting site. So if you have Apple iTunes, you can find us there.
Google Play. Spotify.
Stitcher, Podbean. I mean, Blurberry,
everything.
Literally everything under the sun, we're on there. We have lots of people. Are you on this? Yes. Are you
on
this?
Are.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that there's one that we're not on.
You can
point.
Also listen to us directly from our website and directly from our Facebook.
You certainly can.
Yeah.
Like, from both of those. So.
And our Twitter, I link directly to the episode webpage, which you can listen to from.
Yes.
I make it easy for you.
You can listen and subscribe from our website. So make sure you check it out and catch up on some of our interviews because we've had a lot of fun this month so far.
We've had a lot of good interviews.
A lot of great interviews. And if you're an IndyCar Nation member, and actually they made a special allowance in the month of May since it's our home city. That you did not have to even be an IndyCar Nation member to take advantage of this. Typically, you do, but they were very kind and let us just invite all of our followers as well. So thanks to everybody who came out.
Thank you so much, guys. It was really great to have an audience there because I think it helps us. It helps the drivers kind of feed off of people there.
Yeah, feed off of the energy.
Yeah.
And if you're coming out for Carb Day this Friday, well, we're going to keep it under the belt. We've got a secret guest. So we're keeping it under the belt. I'm not saying secret because they're huge. It's just We're still hammering out a few details. And, you know, we haven't 100% decided where we're going to go with questions and all that business, whether it's going to be audience participation or not. So keep an eye on our social media. But we will be the opening act for Off Track with Hinch and Rossi.
So that happened.
So that's happening. It's official. We can let you know now. So Off Track with Hinch and Rossi are recording a live podcast at 3:45 p.m.
Yep. Roughly.
Roughly. Depending on what time the Pit Stop Challenge is done and all of that business. And so if you want to come, it is an experience that you can sign up for on the Incarnation website. Mm-hmm. And if you win, you'll be chosen. You can come. We're going to start seating people between like 2:40, 2:50, somewhere in there. Whatever time they tell you, I'd plan to get there early.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a lot of people.
I 100% would get there early.
And after the Incarnation people have been chosen, it is first serve. So if it's something you're interested in, A, join Incarnation. It's $35.
It's worth it.
It's totally worth it. We're Incarnation members.
And I think in May, they're offering a discount.
They are 15% discount, so it's not even $35. Yeah. So if you even went to the Legend membership, which is $100, it's only $85 this month.
And guys,
it's so worth it. You can win two-seater rides.
Yeah.
You can win Winter Circle photos.
I think they get, like, garage creds. I know the Legend members and whatnot just get garage creds. They just have to sign in.
Yes.
I think.
Yes. Don't quote me on that one. You can, like, check them out like a library book for an hour or two at a time. So it's just, I mean, the benefits you get just 100%. Cannot be beaten. It's wonderful. So, but if you're not a member and you do want to still come out, it will be first come, first serve. But I would imagine you're better off to just join and try and win. And get because they're going to fill that garage with Incarnation members before they're going to fill it with non-members because it's their garage.
I get it.
So, but yes, we will be opening for them. So come out, support your girls, and then stay and hang out with Hinch and Rossi.
Yeah, because, I mean, we'll probably dip.
We will dip shortly afterwards.
Only because we like the Carb Day concert.
Yeah, I love Blues Traveler, and
I love Train.
So we will not be staying very long.
That's not awkward at all.
I know. I mean, it's going to be like, hi, guys.
Hey, guys, good luck.
We love you.
We got to go.
Yeah. So, I mean, we already let the producer know not to take it personal that we will be leaving, but, you know.
It's cool.
So yeah, make sure you check out our social media, and if you can't make it out to the Indy 500 this year, you can just live vicariously through us.
Yeah. Well, there is only one more thing for us to discuss, and it's a very important thing.
It is.
It's time.
Kind of the most important thing. It's our favorite time of year. It's our favorite race.
Let's go.
All right, let's do it.
The Indy 500.
The Indy 500. Woo! Yes!
I want to go fast. I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew. And vodka.
I'm still sitting in my dirty pee pants right now. false, I changed clothes.
Excuse me, that's not until Sunday.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so the Indianapolis 500, a.k.a. the greatest spectacle in racing.
A.k.a. why are you not here on Sunday?
Yes, the GOAT of motorsports, the most recognizable racing event in the history of the world.
The biggest one-day sporting event, period.
Period. That needs no qualification, just period.
Ta-da. Done.
And that's in person, that's TV, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, it just...
It's here, and I'm so excited.
Oh my God, we've been waiting a year for it.
We have been.
Oh,
and it's... I don't ever know. Like, I'm imagining that most people listening to us know what the Indianapolis 500 is. If you don't know, it's very hard to describe.
It is. It's something that pictures and descriptions don't even do it justice.
Yeah.
But we will break it down for you technically. So, it's 500 miles.
Yep.
On a course that has been called a squoval.
Thank you. First of all, I love the word squoval.
Yeah, I love it.
So I'm already 100% on board.
Already in, yeah. Yeah. I'm already in.
A.K.A. square oval, four corners.
Yep. And, at one of the testing sessions, they told Lace, you know, they said, it's a square. Because, the corner, like, the curves are purely by necessity.
Yeah.
I think that, yeah, it really, it's damn near 90 degrees is what it looks and feels like.
It, yeah.
So basically a rectangle with some curved edges. Nice little squibble.
A little squibble action.
It is 2.5 miles long. It is the longest oval in our series.
You're welcome.
I mean, you're welcome for that fact.
You're welcome.
And so it's 200 laps is how long it goes.
Yeah.
And only 33 drivers, and that's why we had bump day. So there were only been a few years where we had more, but, you know.
And kind of as we talked about with the IndyCar GP, turn one will bite somebody in the ass.
Turn one is hard.
Turn one, lap one is hard. Turn one on any restart is the moment where everybody collectively holds their breath.
Yeah, and I will say, especially for this track, that's why turn one seats, why it's so hard to get seats there.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of your wrecks at this track happen on turn one. There's a lot of reasons for that.
Yeah.
One is that you can go faster on the front straightaway because you don't have as much wind interference.
Exactly.
Because you've got stands on the outside and the inside. The back stretch, you don't have stands. You got some trees for the golf course and shit, but there's no big building blocking. Yeah. And so they can't go as fast. So they just haul ass between four and one, and then they got to get their shit back together. And sometimes
they do not get their shit back together.
Sometimes they do not get their shit back together.
I think that's the most honest answer. And sometimes they don't get their shit back together when you hit turn one, and you can see it. And all of a sudden, everybody goes, "Oh fudge!"
And you just hope that you're not collected in the aftermath.
Yeah, because it's not the person crashing that's going to get you unless you're that person. It's the aftermath, because on restarts on those early on that first couple of laps, everybody's bunched up. So somebody wiggles and you're taking out at least three people.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it may not even be the first person who crashed. It's the person who swerved to try and not hit them.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't realize there was somebody next to him. Didn't realize you were that close. I mean,
but you had to move out of the way.
Well, and who was it? Sarah Fisher, we heard, when she spoke behind the wheel. She said that because of all of the dirt and everything that's kicked up on that initial start, that you almost can hardly see.
Because she was back, and she said,
when you're farther back in the pack,
you can't even see.
You really can't even see. It's almost like there's rain or fog.
Oh my God.
That, you know, from the start-finish line to till you're through turn, you know, about halfway through turn one, you hardly can even see because there's just so much exhaust and dirt and just things being kicked up off the track as everybody hits full speed and goes green.
Oh my God.
It's a hell of a place to watch the race, though, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
I love turn one.
Mm.
I love our seats, too. We're on the front straightaway.
Our seats are nice, but turn one is...
Mm. I love turn one.
Woo! I mean, that's where we sit for quals for very good reasons.
It is. It is. So 200 laps, and it's a long race. I mean, 500 miles.
I mean, use the cliched phrase. It's a sprint. It's not a marathon.
That is true.
I mean, strategy is everything.
You could write a series of encyclopedias on the number of drivers who have led the race and haven't done shit else with their career because it's such a long race.
Mm-hmm.
You can lead the race because of how timing for pits work out or crashes or different things.
A flag comes. It just all depends.
It all depends. And so there are plenty of people who have led the race that, you know, if the race were in right then and there, sure, they'd win. But really, it just came down to just random timing. And then as things continue to sort themselves out, they end up in the back of the pack again. And so it's very much a pit stop game.
It is.
And that's one of the reasons they have the pit stop challenge. That, because it's just fun to watch.
I mean,
but because your pits do make such a huge difference because you have so fucking many of them.
Yes.
That's the other thing, is all these other races, they're like, are they on a two or a three stop? Are they on a three or a four stop? Bitch, you wish you could get away with four pit stops.
You wish you could handle this race in four stops.
Nah. Not possible.
Not happening.
Not happening.
You have to be driving with a gas tank that you just plug in as you're racing for that to happen.
Well, I'll tell you this. They're not going to get that kind of gas mileage until they add Toyota in. Okay? And I know that you love Team Honda, and so I, by default, am Team Chevy. And really, as far as most of my favorite racers go,
most of them
are Team Chevy. But you won't get gas mileage. You got to throw some Toyotas up there. But I'll say this from experience. You're going to be fucked when they crash because the reason they get good gas mileage, your daily drivers, is because, they are made out of a material that's slightly stronger than aluminum foil.
I was going to say, are they made out of aluminum foil?
Slightly
okay,
stronger.
Okay.
Just because I think the speeds that I drive on the highway, if it was truly aluminum foil, my car would have changed shape by now.
Peel away.
Yeah. But from the accidents I've had and the many Toyotas that I have owned in my life, they do crumple. They do crumple like a son of a bitch.
Yeah.
But you're not going to with four pit stops.
Please.
Like, that's a fucking pipe dream.
Please.
So.
Well, let's run down who's won the last couple of years, and then we gotta make our picks.
We do. Well, and of course, we also don't know what the weather's gonna be. I mean, it could...
Right now, there's a chance, but...
Yeah, right now, it looks like the most rain is gonna be Saturday. That there might be some sprinkles on Friday, but it really looks like Saturday is gonna be the most affected day. So Sunday, we come around... Yeah. Looks like it's going to be okay, but it's Indiana. We're 6 days out. We have no fucking clue. No, that's bottom line.
You can't.
Right? We will go ahead and post the GIF of Drew Carey hosting Whose Line Is It Anywhere? It says, welcome to Indiana, where...
The weather's made up and the forecast...
And the forecast is meaningless, yeah. Yeah. And the forecast doesn't matter.
100%. I understand that people are curious about the weather, but as two Indiana girls...
We're too far out to even know.
I don't feel comfortable guessing about the weather until maybe Friday.
Maybe.
And that's
but she will take bets on Saturday.
I took bets Sunday morning.
Oh!
First of all,
you walked away with like over $100 on that.
I did. I made a lot of good money.
Molly bet like she was a fucking high roller.
I did.
Because she made a $20 bet with, what, 6 or 7 different people.
Yeah.
Had you lost...
I mean, I'd have been fudged. But you don't bet against me with Indiana weather.
That's
you
the
don't.
Truth. That's
you
the truth.
You don't.
No. Look, so, yeah, you made, what, 120, 100,
about
140
that much.
Bucks
I think I paid
there?
The ticket with that money.
That's true. I paid for your ticket this year. So, thanks to everybody who came and won. Everybody who came from out of town and wanted to bet against Molly. The only thing I was mad about is that I didn't know there were side bets happening.
I thought you were there.
I was not paying attention. You know I don't listen unless people say my name.
Well, they said the word money and bet.
I know. I mean, I gambled the night before. I just, you know, I'm always down to gamble. So... But yeah, so you just don't know what it's going to be. So weather plays a part because some races have ended early due to weather. Some have been postponed to Monday. The first year I went, 97, it was postponed until Tuesday, which, you know, screws all you people in from out of town. But,
yeah. Yeah, it is what it is.
It is what it is. We all take a risk, okay? There's bump day for the drivers, and sometimes the race gets rained out.
There's
and you
bump
can't
day
stay.
For participants.
Yeah, there's bump day for participants. So, yeah, a lot of things can happen. So, yeah, let's run down some winners the last couple of years.
All right. So, last year, 2017, Sato came in first. Elio was second. And Ed Jones was third. Did not win Rookie of the Year. We'll rehash that later because I could go for about 20 minutes.
I know. That was a very political decision.
I know.
I understand why they chose Alonso, but he had enough notoriety that he did not need to win Rookie of the Year for the 500 last year.
By the way, I will say rumors are McLaren is looking at joining an IndyCar.
Oh, I have seen that.
I'm so excited.
My whole body tingled.
I know. I was like,
I got excited.
Fernando is coming.
Fred.
I'd like to say Fernando.
I love calling him Fernando.
Fernando is coming.
I just want to say Fred for our, you know.
Our boys.
It's you fine. Know who you are. You left.
You got it.
We love you.
2016, my boy Rossi won.
Damn right.
Munoz came in second and Newgarden third. So,
yep,
it was a good year for...
I'm a Munoz fan. I'm a Newgarden fan.
Saying, good year for both of us.
That was a year I again bet on Newgarden. And he did the best he's ever done. But you know what? You don't want any money in our pool for third place. You don't want any money for second place. In fact, if nobody picks the winner, the money just gets pooled for the next year.
Truth.
Yeah, if nobody wins, nobody wins.
Nobody gets the money.
So, yeah.
It's a cruel mistress, the IMS.
Yes. Well, and when Abby's in charge of betting.
It's also a cruel
mistress. It's all business. Okay? I might have a lot of fun out drinking. You might see me be like, oh, she'll make some allowances. No. I don't fuck around. There's a few things I don't play games with. Money and poker, which is funny because it is a game. But no, I don't fuck around. Now, Euchre, if you want it to be a true Euchre game with no cheating, then you're going to have to establish early on no cheating. Because most of the time, my rule is... No obvious cheating. If you catch me cheating, then sure, that's
fine.
Sure,
call me on it.
But part of the game for me to keep it interesting is how much can I get away with without you noticing. So, but yeah, no, poker and money.
Don't mess around.
I don't fuck around.
No, I'm with you on
that. Hardcore. So nobody won. It just gets put back into the ticket holder. Next person wins double next year.
There you go.
All right, 2015, Juan Pablo Montoya.
Juan.
It was his second time winning. His first win was as a rookie.
Yep.
In 2000, because there were 15 years between his two. And that was my freshman year of high school, actually.
Well, there you go.
And he won Rookie of the Year that year, obviously.
He won.
Yeah, same, won Rossi
rookie
won
year.
Rookie of the
right,
Year.
Right, I was going to say, Rossi won Wookie of the Year.
Wookie.
Rossi is Wookie of the Year now. You heard it here first.
He doesn't seem hairy enough for that.
I don't believe that he is. I cannot speak from it.
Now, like, Hinch, he would be a believable Wookiee.
I think he could do a Wookiee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with the beard, I mean, I don't feel like he's a hairy man, but, I mean, the beard, at least. I don't know. I just don't... Rossi doesn't feel like a guy who could grow a strong beard.
I would agree. As a beard
Which is interesting, because he's like, got darker features, mm-hmm. and typically it's us blondes who have problem. Well, I'm not a man, so it's not a problem. It's not a problem for me that I don't grow facial hair. In fact, I'm pretty fucking happy about it. But my male cousins who are blondes have trouble growing facial hair. Mm-hmm. So... But yeah, Rossi does not seem like... God. Messing up. Our brains are done.
Thank goodness we have tomorrow.
Fuck it. Tuesday. Let's call it. We're done. Play the outro music. We're done. No.
Let's just flip over to our picks.
And all right. So, yeah. So, 2015, JPM, Power, and Kemble, surprisingly enough.
I know. I remember writing that knowing.
Did not remember him placing that well in 2015.
I was there. Kemble was third.
You know, to be fair... That was one of the drunkest years on race day.
That was my first race day, so I think we did tie it on.
It was your first race day. Did I make you do all 3 days that year, or was it just race day?
I think it was all 3 days.
Yeah, I think that was a caveat, was that you could have that ticket, but you had to come all 3 days, which that ticket was courtesy of an ex of mine.
You're welcome.
Who had prepaid, and then, well,
did not play
his hand well, okay? I'll tell you this. If I'm ever dating you and I've prepaid for an event... We're not breaking up till after that event. I don't care how ugly it is. I'm either getting my money back or I'm coming. So, yeah, not well played. But Molly got a free ticket out of it. So, you know.
Amen to that. 2014.
RHR.
Ryan Honoré. The only reason I remember that is I remember my ticket for 2015 with RHR's picture on it.
Had RHR's picture on it. And then Alia was second.
Abby.
And Marco was third.
Yeah.
Which is not even his highest finish. His highest finish was in 2006, his rookie year, and he came in second. Mm-hmm. Sam Hornish, I mean, just snatched that win from him in the last, what, maybe 300 yards?
Yeah.
It was damn near a photo finish.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. And then 2013, fan favorite.
I was going to say,
Tony Kanaan. Yep. Which I will say, the bet that year, and I had bet on TK in the past, and... Always wanted him to win. I mean, the place just erupted when he won.
Oh,
I mean, just everybody just went nuts. But the winner that year in our seating bet was my friend Chris's mom, which everybody else was a regular. We happened to have an extra seat, mm-hmm. an extra ticket, and he'd asked me, hey, my mom wants to go, do you have an extra ticket? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And so she came, she was great, she brought sandwiches, she's awesome. I mean,
Clutch.
I mean, we went to junior high school together, like, right. You know, yeah, she's awesome. And then she bet on TK and he won. And everybody was like, who brought the ringer? And I was like, she brought sandwiches. We should have suspected something. We should have known.
Bringing sandwiches, power move.
Power move. I mean, well, that's a power mom move,
That's
too.
A power mom move.
Like, she came with a cooler for drinks, and then she came with another cooler, and it was like, thanks for letting me sit with your family. Here's extra sandwiches and snacks.
I have brought mom snacks.
Yeah, she was straight soccer mom of our section, so she deserved
Orange
that one.
Slices
win.
At the end of the race.
Totally, yeah. Like, she's making him into a little smile, like she's holding her mouth, yeah. And Munoz came in second that year, and then RHR was third. So in the last 5 years, Munoz and Alio have both had 2 second place finishes.
And RHR's not done bad. He's podiumed.
I mean, it could be anybody's race.
It really can be, which is like we're picking, but
that's what makes it dicey. And we watched practice all week long. So, you know, I almost even want to change what I already said.
Okay, well, you can still change.
Yeah, I think I'm still going to change. So, I don't think that I will... Okay, so this is 4 hours.
Yes.
And we will be writing, for those of you who are IndyCar Nation members, or like, just get on their website and check stuff out. They have a...
Fantasy IndyCar.
Well, we get on Fantasy IndyCar and do that, but IndyCar Nation has a...
They're like locks, drops, and sleepers.
So they put out and different people contribute, you know, who they think is a lock to do well, who they think should do well, but you should drop because they're going to shit the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then your sleepers, your people that like you might not expect, but are going to sneak in. And so we're going to be participating in that. This is not my list for that, nor is it my list for fantasy. This is my love list. Like, this is my passion list.
I 100% am with you on that one.
So, I'm going to say, first, I want it to be Alio.
I agree.
I want it to be Alio.
Agreed.
For many reasons. A, he's back for the 500. He's not running a full season. I know that. I know that hurts. I mean, this has been such a big part of his life.
Yeah.
Most importantly, it would be his fourth win.
100%. Yes.
And that's just an awesome thing to witness. And he's the only driver that if he wins four, I will have seen all four wins. In fact, I've not personally seen any of the other four-time winners win any race. Two of them were before my time. Mm-hmm. And then Alonzo Jr., the most recent. I wasn't going to races when he won his last race. I mean, I remember it, but right. I was not there in person. However, I have been there in person for every single one of Elio's wins. And just, I mean, the like history IMS fan in me
wants that. Yeah.
I want to see him climb that fence. I want to see him get that fourth ring. I want it to happen.
I do. Yes.
So that's who I've got for first. What about you?
I'm with you 100% that I think if Elio wins, I will not be upset.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's that emotional pull for me, but I really do also want Ed to win because he's gotten so close so many times. He's gotten the pole so many times. He put out a hell of a run. This is his home track. I don't know. I think this might be it because he's starting on the pole, and they've had a lot of issues passing in these cars. So your position upon starting the race will actually be important, I think.
I think it's going to make a huge difference. I'm with you. Ed Carpenter. Well, and also, I think that, I mean, we are big Ed Carpenter Racing fans.
Yes.
Period.
Period.
I mean, that's no secret.
Yeah.
We love Ed Carpenter Racing. We love that he's local. We love making memes of him. I mean, there's just lots of things.
Some of us love him a lot more than others.
Well, I'll tell you what. When he takes off the dad jeans and puts on the racing suit.
It's a whole other Ed.
It's a whole different Ed. It really is. and judge us if you want, but the man looks hot.
Yeah, he does.
In his suit. He does.
He does.
And I know that he's married and then he's got kids and his wife is beautiful and his kids are adorable and I wish them lots of years of happiness.
Right.
But, damn. Him in that race suit. It just... Whew, is it hot in here?
Like, damn.
Like, I'm glad it's been in the 80s all week long or it would look weird that I was flushed when I saw him. I agree with you. Well, I think that also, you know, says a lot about their team that's the team that Danica ended up going with.
I agree.
You know, because it's her final race. She does well there. And, you know, and they're still Team America. He's got him, Spencer Pigot, now Danica for this race. And I just love it.
I do too.
And Jordan King, I mean, I know he's not in this race, but I think how well he has done.
He's done very well for a rookie.
He's done very well for a rookie, except for when I bet on him. But every other time he's done great, and I think that speaks to the quality of their team.
I agree.
So I would again not disappointed at all.
No, who you got for top five?
Well, I gotta go with my boy Simon Pagenaud.
I ain't mad at that.
I mean, I would love to see him win.
Oh, I would lose my shit.
Would love it. But yeah, I think definitely top five. I mean, he's starting second.
Mm-hmm.
I will say more people win from two than win from one.
I mean,
so. I mean, we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, I would love Simon. And also just because I know, I mean, another teaser for my interview, one of the questions we love to ask is, you know, what's one of your favorite memories of your career?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a moment in a race, a win, a podium, meeting somebody, whatever. And he said that his was when he got his IndyCar contract to sign.
Yes. Yes.
And he said that he actually was so excited and happy that he cried.
I mean, it's beautiful.
Love that. And to just be that open. He wasn't even like, I'm not ashamed. He was just like, I cried. Like, he made no excuses for it. I'm like, yeah. I was like, well, who the hell wouldn't? I mean, really.
Exactly.
Like, he got his first IndyCar contract, and yeah. So, I would love to see him. I would love to see him podium. I'd love to see him win. But I'm going to say solid top five for Pagenaud. He has been doing quite well all week long.
I agree. No, I have him later in the list. I got Danica.
Ooh.
Top five.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, again, I would love to see her podium. If she, I mean, we've already gone on record.
Yeah.
Should she win, we will ugly cry for a good 20 minutes.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I'm not even going to pretend. If she podiums, I'll probably ugly cry.
I mean, her rookie year, she barely didn't podium. She came in fourth.
I will ugly cry.
She barely didn't podium. Yeah, yeah, I agree with you.
And I think it's maybe a little bit of an emotional choice on my part, but this is her last race. This is her last try. I know she's not going to leave anything behind. I'm expecting a top five. If it's higher than top, If she podiums, I'm...
Oh, God, I would just... I mean...
Oh, my God.
And if she won, I would lose it.
We will rage that night.
Oh, yeah.
Just bar
We'll probably still be drunk when we show up to the victory banquet if she wins.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, may not have even been to bed yet.
No,
we'll see what happens.
Just still partying.
What are you girls going to do tonight? Hookers and blow!
Cocaine and whiskey.
What are you guys doing? Pills and whiskey.
Pills and whiskey.
Whiskey and pills. Yeah, Danica. Yeah.
I mean, I expect her to do well. I expect her to do well.
I do too. I'm really torn. I'm a top 10. So.
What do you got?
Well.
Who do you torn between?
Because I think Danica is going to be in the top 10.
Yeah.
I also want to see TK in the top 10 because he's starting 10th. I know he's going to edge his way up.
Oh, yeah.
So. I'll say TK for this one.
Okay.
Yep, I'll say TK.
Okay.
I also feel like Andretti's going to do well, but I'm going to stick with Kanaan.
I know, I'm the same way. I was like, shit, Marco's going to do well too.
Yeah.
I know.
And Munoz, I mean, he's in a one-off car, but his car seems to be a better quality than a lot of the other one-offs.
Yeah, he seems to be okay.
But he also started last year, I mean, his only goal was to get a ride for the 500. Mm-hmm. And so I think that he worked his sponsorship and he's only been trying for a one-off, whereas a lot of drivers have still been trying for part-time or full-time rides.
Yeah.
And so he spent that entire time getting as much money as he could to put into this car.
I agree.
So, but yeah. All right, I'm going to stay with TK.
Okay. I'm picking Simon.
Yeah.
I mean, I
think that's a safe bet.
I think he's going to do better than 10th, but I already picked my first in my top five. So I pick Simon. Again, yep. I want him to do 100% well. I think he's going to do well. He has a good car. He's got a good car.
Oh, hell yeah, he does.
I mean, it's a good car.
It's a solid vehicle.
Yeah, so yeah. I definitely think
top. And he got a solid team. I mean, a lot of the guys that work with Pagano have been working with him for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we know he's got good eyes. Him personally and also his spotters. Yeah, shout out to Mike. Which we love hearing the two of them now that we've had now that we've gotten just a peek into their personal and professional relationship. Yeah, to hear the two of them on the radio,
it kills me.
I love
every
it.
Time.
Well, every time we're like, oh, that's Mike. We hear
Mike.
So and Mike is up there at, what did you say, 6 a.m. on race day?
Yes, he's ready to go on race day.
I mean, the only person that sees more of what's happening on that track than Mike Ford is God himself.
I was going to say Doug Bowles.
No, I would say God himself. Doug Bowles is too close to the ground. He's not up high enough.
He's not. He doesn't.
I mean, he might be more aware of what's going on, but the only person that sees more is God. Mike Ford is not going to let anything happen to Simon. So, and Mike has been doing this so long that he can see moves.
He's like
a chess player
that
can predict you 3 to 5, 7 moves in the future, knows what you're going to do. That's Mike Ford as a spotter.
I agree.
So, yeah, I think that's a solid choice.
Oh, yeah.
Solid. Who do you have for first out?
So I have Mateus Lace, and I would like to explain why. Because he qualified very well.
Sure.
I believe what's going to happen is he's going to fall into the rookie inexperienced trap.
Mm-hmm.
He is pushing very hard. He is driving very well, but this is not like any other race that he's ever experienced in his life. This is 500 miles. He's
of unforgiving.
Unforgiving, a track that will not let you make a rookie mistake, and he's going to make a rookie mistake.
He's going to.
And I think he's going to try, and I would not be surprised if he didn't try for something within the first 5 laps.
Oh, I would bet he's definitely, I mean, easy money is to bet that he's going to be out before lap 50.
Oh, 100%.
That's easy money.
And I don't want
Because he's
going
to try to pass, and a lot of the guys have been saying that even when they have been passing, it's because the car next to them has slowed down, has allowed them to pass.
Yeah.
But attempting to pass has been
harder.
A shit show.
Yes.
And especially on our track.
Yeah. And he's just going to do... And I'm not wanting to...
I think that he's going to be a little too big for his britches.
That's exactly it. He's done very well. I'm not unhappy with the results that he's put up, but he's a rookie and he's very young. And he does not have that maturity yet.
He doesn't. And he also has not had the most favorable results in prior races.
Yeah.
Now, I would not have said the same thing about Carlos Munoz's rookie year.
No.
I mean, I will still speak his praises, mm-hmm. as I did that year. And he came out strong. I mean, he's had 2 second-place finishes. And as a rookie, he had a second-place finish. And so, but he also was doing well up until then. And had just, a better head on his shoulders, just a more, balanced view.
I would agree.
Yeah, so I agree with you. I do not think that Laced...
I made this decision during quals. With Laced.
Mm-hmm.
I said, he's driving the hell out of that car, and he's going to have to pay the piper.
Yeah.
I don't mean that in any sort of negative way. I don't want anything to happen to him, but...
No, certainly.
He's going to crash out.
I'll tell you what. I hope he doesn't take out 5 cars from the front of our field, though.
God, I'm going to lose my mind.
I mean, I just hope that whatever he does, but yeah.
It's just a little shunt off. Yeah. That's who I've got. Who about...
So, I'm going to go with James Davison for my first out. And, a couple reasons why.
Okay.
So, number one, he crashed on Fast Friday.
Truth.
I mean, Hildebrand brushed the wall, still counted, I still got my free shirt.
I bet you won.
But Davison crashed, and he fucking ruined that car. The only thing that was not ruined on that car was the tub, which
Thank
is the only
God.
Thing that they don't give a fuck about. Because they can get another tub, but... Destroy. I believe the terminology that we heard over the radio was that the gearbox was trashed.
Yes.
Is only because they were the radio. Otherwise, I'm sure they would have said fucked. F-U-C-K-T. Which is especially harsh.
Yes.
E-D is one thing, but F-U-C-K-T, like, it's fucked. Yeah.
You gotta land on that T.
You gotta land on that T. Plus, I think that he is out to prove something. This is the earliest he's ever known about the race.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that he really wants to prove that having... more notice will make a difference in his run. And I'm not saying he's not a strong driver, because he has done well at other things.
Yes.
But I think that he's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder that he wants to prove. And I will use a phrase from my dad and say that I believe he's letting his bulldog mouth write a check his puppy dog ass can't cash. And... in light of some of the things that he has said about Hinchcliffe, on a personal note, I won't be shedding any fucking tears.
I will tell you this
when
much.
When he stuffs into the wall.
The IMS enjoys Hinch. You don't mess with Hinch at the IMS.
You
don't. The track will get you.
Yeah, I'm just
it's
saying.
It's like Poltergeist. Don't mess with it.
Exactly.
Don't mess with it.
Exactly. I'll tell you what, it terrified me to see snow on my TV for years after that movie. Of course, my dad letting me watch it at 5 was probably a little bit inappropriate. Mom was working nights. That's how all of those movies happened, is that Dad was like, she ain't here.
It's fine.
Dad rules versus mom rules. So, but yeah, so I'm going to say Davison, because I think that, granted, he made a lot of moves last year.
Mm-hmm.
He started at 33rd. He made it through the pack. He led some
he
laps.
Led laps.
Some of that was because of, pitting and things like that.
Strategy.
But, some pit strategy and things like that. But he also really... did make some great moves and some great passes and moved up in the field very well. However, new cars, they're hard to pass on this track.
Yeah.
He hasn't had as much time in the car.
Yeah.
He had no regrets from Friday because they wanted to put it all out there and he stuffed it in the wall. And so I feel very certain that he's going to put it all out there. I'm not saying he's not going to I'm not saying he's going to have any regrets. I don't think that he's going to, but I think that their mentality is going to be winning to wreck it, and I think he's going to push too hard, and I think he's going to stuff it.
I agree. Yeah, I can see that happening.
So, yeah, that's what I got.
Alrighty. Well, I think there's only one thing left to do.
I think there is. Let's wave that white flag.
What do you got?
Well, I'm real excited for Carb J.
I will be.
I'm real excited for Carb J. I'm excited to have that we, which this episode will drop on Wednesday, and so all day Tuesday, we have a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
There's a lot of manual labor in my future to get the yard ready for people, and then Wednesday, I've got work, some work to do around here and different things, and then I'm also getting my hair and my nails done. So,
fancy.
A little bit of work, a little bit of pamper, and then.
We hit it, man. We
start back on Thursday. Everybody else comes and joins in on Friday. So it's coming up to our favorite weekend of the year. A lot of people coming in from out of town that I'm excited to see that I typically only see once, maybe twice a year. So I'm excited for friends and family. I'm excited for the race. I'm just excited for the whole atmosphere and the energy that is the mm-hmm. entire town of Speedway at this time of year. So I think that's about all I got. What about you?
I'm pretty much echoing the same. I think there's just something magical about this weekend. And it's hard to define if you've not been here. It's just hard.
You can't quantify it.
You can't. There's this magic. There's this special sort of energy. I'm excited to see Juliana, who we've interviewed before and we've all communicated with. So she's going to come out and be with us over the race weekend.
She's going to join us. And she's going to come to the victory banquet with us.
So I guess that means she's going to have to record with us Monday.
Well, I think so.
I think that's going
to
happen.
I mean, she definitely has to do a race report.
Yeah, race report. She's going to race report with us.
Yeah. So, which depending on the crowd of people we have Sunday evening, we might have multiple people.
Yeah, depending.
Depending on who's here and how drunk it is outside.
Yeah.
If it's too drunk here, then nah.
I'm just excited.
I am too.
I need a few things to shake out. I need some things to get solidified, and then I'm ready to go.
Ready to rock
and
roll.
And roll. Both. So that's what I got.
All right. Well, guys, thanks for listening. Have a great week. Be safe.
See you at the track.
See you at the track. Come find us on Friday.
Bye.